Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky, and today I have Rabbi Yaakov Horowitz, who is the founder and Menahel of Yeshiva Darchei Noam of Muncie and the founder and director of Agudas Israel's Project YES, Youth Enrichment Services. Hi, how are you, Rabbi Horowitz?
Hi, it's always a pleasure to be on. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, certainly, you've been a busy man. Every place you go, people know about what you're doing and the projects that you're involved in. But for some of the people who really don't know in the listening audience, maybe you could just tell them a little bit about Project YES and, you know, what inspired it and what are your mission statements?
Well, it started actually in 1996 when I was an eighth grade Rebbe teaching a Bayes class, you know, the weakest track in the school.
Right.
And I wrote an article in the Jewish Observer called An Ounce of Prevention that was just talking about the issue of teens at risk. It wasn't discussed at that time. It wasn't something people talked about in mixed company. And I wrote about, you know, the problems that I was seeing and some solutions that I felt would be helpful to educators, parents, the children themselves. And the response was just beyond extraordinary. We got hundreds of phone calls to the house and dozens of letters. And you know, one thing led to another, and we started Project YES a year later, and you know, we've been working with families and children on in a variety of programs. We had a mentoring program. We have other services that we provide, and you know, recently, more so over the years, we began to notice that the overwhelming majority of the kids who were, you know, exhibiting the really high-end at-risk behavior, you know, substance abuse and cutting, you know, things that were self-destructive, a tremendous percentage of them were abused. And
now, when you say abused, they were abused by either a family member, someone on the faculty, a friend?
I guess the answer would be D, all of the above.
Okay.
The research shows that most abuse takes place, you know, is perpetrated by people close to the victim, family members, kids on the block, you know, a friend of a friend. So, you know, after doing a lot of homework, and looking into matter, talking to professionals, we felt that the best step that we could take, the most logical and effective intervention that we could do to keep our children safe, is to just educate parents on how to speak to the kids. You know, there are so many components of the safety issue. You know, what do you do with the perpetrators?
Right.
You know, how do you deal with the recidivism? And there are so many questions that need to be and issues that need to be addressed. But we said, let's keep it simple. Let's give parents tools, train them how to use them, and have them speak to the children directly.
So I know that recently there's a new book that came out called Let's Stay Safe, which you put out. And let's talk a little bit about that book. Who is the target audience, and how are you distributing it, and what reaction have you gotten to it so far?
No, thank you. Well, the reaction has been extraordinarily positive. You know, we put together a team of just outstanding people to work on the program. Bracha Getz wrote the book. Tova Leff illustrated it. Chaya Becker was the edited and managed the project. And it actually took us 2 years. You know, the book came out, was released by Art Scroll about a month after that horrible incident with Levi Kletsky in Borough Park.
Right.
And, you know, many people thought that, wow, how'd you turn it around so fast? You know, it was 2 years of effort to just really get to get everything right, to get the proper messages. You know, it's a balance. You want to inform the children but not frighten them. You want to have them, you know, their antennas be up when they're around people and who you know, invade their space, but you don't want to make them neurotic. It's all, you know, a tremendous...
So how did you test it to make sure you were getting your message across?
Well, it was reviewed, and we had two top therapists, Dr. David Pelkowitz and Dr. Vincent Twersky, reviewed every page, every picture, every word of text. We sent it around to dozens of people to you know, try to read it to their children. We gave it to social workers, Rabbanim, four members of the Meitz Gedalei Torah, the leading Rosh Yeshiva, actually reviewed every page and every word of the text. So, you know, we did a lot of market study in addition mm-hmm. to, you know, getting really good people to work on it.
Right. And now the target audience is what age?
Well, probably I would say 2 to 10, you know.
Two, really?
That young, right? So when people ask me that when I do workshops on, you know, on how to present this book to children and what the thinking is behind an effective, abuse prevention or a child safety program, everybody asks the question, like, how old? So I say, well, how old does it take a child? At what age does a child understand that their blankie belongs to them or their Laffy Taffy, a toy of theirs? And they get it at 2, don't they? So we need to teach them that they belong to them. We never tell them that.
So how do you recommend, let's say, a parent reading the book to a child? Do you read a page at a time, talk about it? I mean, what's the right formula that you think?
Well, just like that, just exactly what you said. And, you know, Dr. David Pelkowitz wrote it in his, he wrote a three-pager to parents. I mean, all of this is on our website, which is kosherjewishparenting.com, just the way it's spelled, kosherjewishparenting.com. And I would encourage the listeners, you know, who want to find out more, you know, more about the program and all, to go to the website, have a look. On the right side, there is an icon, a picture of the book that says, Let's Stay Safe. And there are links to all sorts of resources. There's a 32-minute video of a talk I gave explaining parents how to use it. There's all sorts of written material. And Dr. Pelkowitz wrote that this book is a springboard for discussion. It allows you to sit down and in a comfortable way, have a relaxed conversation with your children. And what you asked about, you know, how should do parents read it? It really depends on your pace. You know, when there is no right or wrong way. You know, going through the pictures at the beginning, we included general safety there.
Right, I saw that, right.
You know, helmets, and we did it for a number of reasons, but one of them was that it allows parents to get comfortable before they get to the, you know, meat and potatoes of the abuse prevention matter, which tends to stress parents out.
You think this book is something which is also applicable to the general public? Or is it really more geared towards the firm community?
Yeah, it is absolutely appropriate for people outside our community. The pictures, obviously, you know, the pictures and the feel of it was designed to be comfortable in a Jewish home. But we've gotten emails and reports from many people outside our community, non-Jews, who are using it and found it to be very helpful. I got an email from someone who works in a child care facility in Baltimore, where our daughter lives, and our daughter gave this young lady a copy of the book, and she took it to work, and they bought, I think, 50 or so from us, you know, to distribute to their staff. None of them are Jewish there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the message is neutral. It's just the packaging that was developed for people in our community.
Now, would you say this is, I mean, you know, the problems of abuse are age-old problems, obviously, and now is it just that we're more aware of it now, which is why, you know, people are talking about it, and or just a lot more of it today than there was before?
I don't know if there's more than there was before. Look, our community has grown by leaps and bounds. So you wind up hearing more Shalom Zachers and Shul. You know, you wind up hearing more nice things happening than we did. You have much, I don't know about you, you know, we're married 30 years. The number of weddings have dramatically increased, and the number of tragedies we hear about, and, you know, the abuse, I think it's always happened since the beginning of time. And we're just becoming aware of it now, and we're becoming more comfortable talking about it. And that's really what needs to happen in order to keep our children safe.
I'm sure you haven't gotten any negative reaction, but somehow, whenever you do anything, there's always some negative reaction. Was there any at all?
Remarkably, we sold well over 10,000 copies. We were actually you know, prepared for more negative feedback than we got. Almost nothing.
Really?
A few people told us that they're not comfortable bringing, quote, that stuff into their house. You know, and I just encourage them to go through a few pages and see if they still feel that way. But really, the reaction has really been overwhelmingly positive. You know, we were endorsed by Torah Masora, by the Agra, you know, the Mitzvah Kedaliah Torah. It's really getting traction and going from the most Haredi homes, you know, all the way across the spectrum and everything in between.
This is kind of getting off the topic just a little bit, but I've been reading about someone is abused or they know about someone who was abused. Do you call the authorities? Do you speak to your rabbi first? What could you clarify that? What is the official position you think of the Orthodox Jewish community at this point?
Well, it's very fair and excellent question. Obviously, it's been, you know, written and it's been written up a lot in the press. Let me just tell you, for over 10 years, I've been recommending that people go directly to the authorities. You know, I speak for myself. I'm a rabbi. I consider myself at least at the average range in being knowledgeable about these issues. And I have no way. If you came to me now and said, well, there's somebody, and people do, say there's somebody, you know, somebody's on the block or somebody's molesting children and, you know, can you check it out? Check it out. Like, what? I have no investigative powers. I wasn't trained to discern between what's real and what's not. I have no enforcement power. Like, how am I supposed to do this?
Right.
I always tell people, what if you were coming to me with a mold problem in your house? Just substitute that for that. You say, listen, Rabbi, you know, we had a very wet winter and was smelling mold in the basement. What do you think? I say, what? Go in an expert and let them figure it out. So, you know, I think there is a misconception. I do not know any responsible rabbis in any spectrum of Orthodox Judaism that say with a known molester. If you know, you know, someone has firsthand information that, you know, a child of theirs comes and says that they were molested, or they actually know of a person who molested them perhaps years ago. Every rabbi I know, including the Agudas position, I've heard it from members of the Mitzvah Kedaliah Torah at Rabbana meetings that we did. It's crystal clear. Go straight to the police. Don't collect $200. Just go straight to the authorities. What the discussion is about is, like, what if somebody's, like, acting kind of weird? And I see, like, he always has kids on his lap. That's where there's...
Okay, so then, if you see something like that, what you're supposed to do is then go to your Rav and say, you know, something just doesn't look right. Somehow, every time I go to shul, come in the morning, and, you know, there's always a candy man, but this is a little bit beyond. Then you say, the Rav will say, okay, let me look into it. Is that what we're supposed to do at this point?
I'm telling you again, I'm not certainly not the authority or the spokesperson for anyone. I speak for myself. And as I said, again, my position is that you know, people need to go to the authorities when they have credible allegations. So, you know, my understanding of this issue of going to a Rav, and by the way, the approach that Rabbanim who do say go to a Rav is go to a Rav who's knowledgeable about these issues. It doesn't mean go to a great Torah scholar who has nothing, you know, has no knowledge of these matters at all. I would hope that anybody who does not have, any Rabbanim who does not have extensive background, you know, go to somebody who does. But, you know, a Rav is someone that people trust and people...
Okay.
People have, you know, a certain amount of faith in their judgment and in their discretion. So, when let's say your example of the Candyman thing. So, if a rabbi really doesn't understand this whole issue, they'll refer to somebody like myself. And I do get very many of those. Like, you know, what people will call me, a rav will say, "Listen, so and so came to me, and I really didn't know what to tell them. Why don't you talk to them?" And if I hear that there's something that really does not sound right, then you tell them to do what they got to do. But you know, this it's this gray area that there's a lot of discussion about. I don't think there's been enough publicity about the very clear psak to go to directly to the authorities when somebody has, you know, absolute information that that molestation is taking place.
Now, I don't know if we're at this stage, but let's assume somebody is accused of some kind of, you know, let's say abuse, and then if found indeed correct, they go to prison, serve time, come out. What should be their role in Jewish life? I mean, where do they fit into Jewish society at that point?
That is the $64,000 okay. question. That okay. is a very significant issue. And quite frankly, as this, you know, process rolls itself out, and as we get more aware, and as more people go through the system, we're going to find ourselves dealing with this, you know, significantly more and more as time goes on. You know, I've been in situations where, you know, someone who's on a sex offenders list is in shul. You know, many shuls will not allow them to daven and, you know, to enter the shul. Let me back it up a little bit.
Okay.
If someone is an offender, they should not be taking any physician anywhere near children. That's certain. The question is what to do about it and how. It's something that we're going to have to figure out.
So we're not really there yet, but we're going to get there in short order.
Yeah, well, we have some people, you know, I happen to have been in outside of my community. I was a guest at someone's home, and I recognized someone who had done significant amount of jail time for molesting children. I recognized him sitting on my table. And I can't say I felt very comfortable. So it happens, but it's going to, obviously there's going to be more and more of this as time goes.
No, I'll tell you, it's really unbelievable. I mean, first of all, the job you're doing in Project Yes, which is, you know, enrichment services and kind of, you know, kids who have lost their way and we're trying to help them come back. And now this series that you're putting out, and I think, you know, it's going to it takes some bold people, and I want to give you credit for that, because I know it wasn't easy.
Thank you.
And I know that you had to deal with the establishment sometimes, which is not always so easy to do. But
well, you know, I've been writing about it now. It's a very, very different world. I started writing about this 10 years ago.
All right.
And people thought I totally lost my mind.
Right.
You know, so thankfully we're working our way through the denial phase, and now we're starting to deal with it. You know, but I think the most important message to your listeners would be that education is so incredibly effective. And, you know, the research shows that even one discussion with children with a moderate amount of follow-up results in the child six to seven times more likely to exhibit defensive behavior when approached by a predator.
Hmm.
It means, you know, if one child was spoken to, and the other one wasn't, the one who was spoken to is six times more likely to exhibit defensive behavior. So it really, really works. And you know, there are four basic messages. Your body belongs to you. Good touching, bad touching, which basically means, you know, like good touching, bad touching was something that you say any spot covered by a bathing suit. You know, it shouldn't be touched by, you know, by someone other than your parents. And, you know, again, if anyone's interested, you can go to the website. You can see there's free downloads for details. No one's allowed to make you feel uncomfortable. No one's allowed to tell you not to tell secrets to your parents. This stuff really works.
Yeah, no, it's great. And as I said, you know, I've seen the book, and I think that certainly something that every parent should be reading to their children. I thank you so much for coming on today and enlightening our audience.
My pleasure.
Continue the great work. And for everybody out there, the book is called Let's Stay Safe, and highly recommend it. Thank you very, very much, Robert Horowitz.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay,
thanks.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.